Hello and welcome, everybody. Welcome to this new year, a new you, hopefully. You know, this is the time to really let go of the old, anything that doesn't serve you at this level where you are moving to in this new year. And I'm glad we're going to get to do this together this year. This is going to be an amazing year. Hey, listen, how many of you had a little challenge or two or three or a million last year? How many of you had looked outside about March of last year and said, what planet am I on? Where do I live? What is going on here? And all the mass fear and worry and concern that so many people went through last year. Wow, crazy. We're leaving all that behind, right? We're letting it go. This year, we're bringing in vibrant health. And when I think of vibrant health, I think about it mentally, mental health, emotional health, physical health, financial health, all areas of life. You know, when I think of the United States today, and this, I'm not sure this is true around the world, but I know it is in our country. You know, the obesity rate broke 40% for Hispanics in 2020, and also broke 49% for blacks. Whites were about 40%. And the most common mental illness in the United States right now is, guess what? What do you think it is? Anxiety disorder, which impacts 40 million people. Almost 20 million people have addictions right now. And there's also something that's going on. It's called spiritual well-being, which is really the ability to integrate meaning and purpose in your life. That's at an all-time low. Is it any wonder why the massive viruses have hit us and so many people are getting sick? It's no wonder to me. It's not this mystery thing. It's like, you know, when we have ill health, when we create environments inside of us, right, that really can wreak havoc with all of our lives, then it's no wonder we're getting sick and diseased and we got all these addictions and things like that going on. Listen, you know, I've been a meditator for a couple decades. Wish it would have started earlier. I hope some of you young people are listening and going, you know what? This is time for me to step into that, because I'll tell you why. When you learn to meditate, when you learn to go within, it's the first thing that I learned was it was tuning me into my own inner wisdom. And inner wisdom is everything. Imagine, you know, if you could tune into that intuition and have 100% accuracy of your decisions. Well, you can once you refine your intuition. Most people have undeveloped intuition. It's kind of hit or miss. So I think this is right. I think that's right. But once you start to define it, you can really have an amazing life. You make better choices time and time and time again. Now, why is that? Well, listen, everything comes out of this thing we call our soul, right? Okay, so soul is 100% connected to the divine, 100%. All accuracy comes from the soul. So soul is over the mind. The mind is over your willpower. The willpower is over your energy. When you will something, you bring energy into it, okay? The energy is over your actions. Your actions are over your results. Your results are over your destiny. But listen, it starts at the soul. It starts with meditation. It starts with tuning in to that part of yourself that already knows the answers to what you need to do or not do. It already knows how to have vibrant health. It already knows how to connect with the relationships of your dreams. It already knows how to tune you into financial health. But for most people, you're not listening to it. I didn't listen to it. And listen, when I didn't listen to it, life got very painful. I bet it gets painful for everybody. I bet I'm not the only one. So I'm hoping that you will really think about tuning into your intuition, tuning into what's really important in this new year. Listen, I got to take a break, but when we come back, I'm going to define, first of all, what vibrant health is all about, and then I'm going to introduce my guest. We'll be right back. And stay tuned for the guest. Wait till you see who I have in the show today.
There comes a time when you know you need to restart and regain control of your life. A time to seek freedom from the anxiety, addiction, and other issues that may be bringing you down. A time to heal and reemerge as the real you. Villa Kalima is a holistic residential recovery program exclusively for women for individualized treatment. Villa Kalima offers proven clinical and holistic therapies for the mind, body, and spirit to assure sustainable recovery. Villa Kalima focuses on healing the cause, not temporarily masking symptoms. It's the only way to truly recover and find yourself again. Villa Kalima is located in a beautiful, peaceful, resort-like setting and is a licensed and accredited residential treatment center accepting a variety of health insurances. Start your healing and renewal today by calling Villa Kalima in La Costa, California at 760-814-8214. 760-814-8214. Villa Kalima, a place for transformation.
I've written a new book. It's called The Courage to Change Everything: Daily Strategies and Wisdom to Unlock Your Genius, Your Soul, and to Transform Your Life. So it's daily strategies. I wrote this specifically because over the years I've noticed in my own life and in the lives of my clients that, listen, a little inspiration doesn't get it. A little wisdom doesn't get it. A little action doesn't get it. It's daily, dripping on the mind, dripping on those actions, taking specific, focused actions towards your dreams and setting specific goals, right? Goals help us to transform the little self into the possibilities that we have in each of us. All of us are given dreams, and if you're sitting there and you're not manifesting that dream, it's just a little bit of you is chipping away every day that's not happening until you finally wake up and say, I don't know how I'm going to do this, but I'm going to connect with something greater than myself, my force, my God, my life, my universe, whatever. I don't care what you call it. You tune into that force, and that's what's going to get you to the next level.
Well, welcome back. Listen, the show is called The Courage to Have Vibrant Health today. So what does that mean to have vibrant health? Well, it's an integrative lifestyle which brings awareness into all aspects of your health. I talked about it in the first part of the show. It's about mental health, emotional health, physical health, financial health, spiritual health, having health in all areas of your life. Guess what? When you have health in all areas of your life like that, you have vibrant energy. Your willpower is on fire. You can think what you need, and you can start to manifest what you need almost instantly. I'm telling you, this is amazing what happens when we really get on a personal development path, when we are focused on self-improvement, self-awareness, self-growth, self-evolution, start to realize, go into self-realization. We start to become aware of what's possible in so many areas of our life. So how do you do this? Well, I'll give you some tips, and then I'm going to introduce my guest. Listen, some of the tips that you can do, of course, what I just said, start every day, morning and evening, with meditation. That's number one. That's my tip. Eat high vibrational foods. Eat foods that you feel good when you eat them. Think about that. Now, I'm not talking about cookies and candies and cakes, although sometimes those are appropriate. Okay, you might need a little treat now and then. But eat things that are really going to fuel your body, not just fuel your head. Think about consistent exercise. This is the key to success. I've been a triathlete for a couple decades now. So triathlon works for me. It helps me to run, bike, and swim. That's what I do. That's my gig. Whatever yours is important. You got to find that, right? It might just be walking. That's awesome. Also, you need to take time to be quiet every day. As Da Vinci said, Leonardo da Vinci, isolation is the price of greatness. It's time to still the mind, quiet the mind, okay? Your mind isn't you. You have a mind, but that's not who you are. You have to learn how to control the mind so that you can have what you want in this life. But it starts with spending time with yourself. Spending time in nature is another good tip that I loved. You know, put it on your calendar right now this year. Why not? Why not schedule the times that you're going to be in nature? Also, breath work, yoga. I can't imagine not having yoga in my life. I can't even imagine what that would be like, because yoga means union, union with soul, union with spirit, union with God, right? So when we start to learn the esoteric teachings of yoga, not just the physical hatha yoga, although that's important, we can start to have a life that is in peace and harmony and joy and abundant all the time. It's amazing. I hope you'll follow me on some of these tips. And also, of course, we want to cultivate positive emotions. So that's back to using the mind in a proper way. And the last one is it's a new year. It's a new you. If you have connections that are no longer working for you, relationships that are no longer working, then it's time to just say goodbye. Find people that really are at where you want to go. That's what you need to have in your life. People that are already doing and already at a level of consciousness and awareness where you want to be. Start hanging out with them. Start making them friends. All right, listen. I want to introduce my guest. I'm so excited to have him. His name is Dr. Gabriel Cousins. He is a holistic orthomolecular physician, a homeopath, psychiatrist, family therapist, Ayurvedic practitioner, and has served as a lieutenant commander in the U.S. Public Health Service. He is the former member of the Board of Trustees of the American Board of Holistic Integrative Medicine, and he's currently vice president of the Arizona Board of Holistic Integrative Medicine. Additionally, he is a world leader and he helps people to heal all kinds of diseases, which we will be talking about today. Gabriel, I'm so happy to have you, man. Welcome to the show.
Ken, it's really great. You had a great introduction. I love what you said. That's a great start. So thank you for your good work.
Well, listen, I know what we talked about in studio before you came on. You said you'd like to share a prayer with us. I'd love you to do that. Let's pray. Let's pray you in and pray the world in right now. That sounds like a great thing.
So the prayer is about merging the heart and the mind, which is key, and also the heavens and the earth. So here's the prayer. It is in Hebrew, the original kind of energetic of it. Shem Yaku Krisha Brihu Ushinate Bi Il or Imulaihe Shem Yuke Bugovke Yudashum Shem Kozrael Kolam Amen. Feel that merging of your heart and mind. Because where we go with what we've been talking about is the wisdom of the heart and the heavens and the earth, the spiritual and the physical. Okay, very good.
I love that. I love that. I felt that when you said it. And of course, I don't speak Hebrew what was that you were speaking?
Hebrew.
Yeah, Hebrew. I don't speak that, but I felt it. So yeah. What does that prayer mean, Gabriel?
Well, sometimes we're just emotionally oriented. Sometimes we're just mentally oriented. But the power is when we integrate all aspects of who we are. That's the real power, and that's what brings us to well-being. Now, another aspect of it, which is about my book, Into the Nothing, is going beyond the mind. So you talked about meditating, and like you, I meditate an hour twice a day. And when I lived in India, it was 6 hours a day and 4.5 hours of chanting and so on, but that's harder to do in the United States and not needed when you get to a certain point. So what it's about is going beyond the mind. Meditation often creates a quiet mind, but what I'm talking about is going beyond the limitations of the mind into the nothing. And then at the level of the nothing, the idea of you as an I-ness disappears and there's only God. Now that takes courage. A lot of people are very afraid of disappearing. For me, because it happens like almost every time I meditate, it's like, wow, that's great. I am going in to the oneness and the ecstasy of the oneness. So when you go to that place, there's a what I'm going to call a non-causal joy, a non-causal love, a non-causal peace, a non-causal harmony, and a non-causal compassion. In other words, it's coming from you. It's not caused by anything outside of you. And that just opens up your life in a whole different way because you're not dependent on anyone. Now, in a sacred relationship, which also takes a whole lot of courage for most people because it's still going into the unknown, relationships for me are a particular way of spiritual journey. It is a path to liberation if you use it that way. But to do that, we can't think about relationships as being for safety. They're about going in to the unknown beyond your limits. That's the key. You have to be willing. And that's what the key
is. I think you touch on an important point because I think a lot of people really want to stay in their comfort zone. They want to stay in their, you know, they want to stay in their house. It's comfortable, or they want to drive a certain car. They want to, you know, have a certain religious experience. They want to, you know, they want to stay comfortable, the same relationship. And I think that's a mistake. What do you say?
Well, maybe the same relationship, but the point is to take the relationship to its deepest level where you, again, you turn it into a spiritual path. So in my book, Into the Nothing, the one point I make that's key is take all of life and use it as a way to grow spiritually. Take every experience and turn it into an opportunity for spiritual growth. And relationship kind of amplifies it because there's two of you playing, okay? And you never know, but you have to face your own stuff, but also your family of origin of stuff comes up in a couple and family issues. But it's all about going into the unknown and willing to do that. So it's just an aspect of the unknown.
Well, I really like what you're saying. I mean, I think it's a profound message. I don't think a lot of people use their relationships to evolve themselves. I think they think they're right. In a relationship to get something out of it, not necessary to, or maybe even to give, but not necessarily to evolve themselves. And I think the evolution of the soul is key here. What say you?
Well, that's exactly my point. So, and what a relationship does is it takes your family of origin issues, it brings them up right into your face, stuff you have to resolve. It has you face what it means to be a full human being. And then if you have kids, that even amplifies it more because kids love to push your buttons. It's a good thing, okay? So I work with parents, you know, and they say, oh, I can't really be spiritual. I'm too busy taking care of my family. No, I'm saying that's the point, is that your family, as a mother or father, is actually there to help you grow spiritually.
I love that.
That's what you're here. That's your destiny.
I love that. That's good. So, well, let me ask you this. Because I want to, you know, Into the Nothing is a big book. I mean, we're talking, 450 pages, something like that. And, you know, you didn't have to write another book. Well, first of all, what's the most important message in the book? And then maybe it ties into why you wrote it.
So the message is life is a spiritual journey if you choose to see it that way. That's the essential message. And the idea is to take every experience and turning it into a point for evolution. That's the key concept. And it starts when I was one, and I had TB. 1943, no cure for TB, a death sentence. My mother didn't quite believe that, neither did my father, so they kept me at home, and obviously I survived. But my initial message is I was having to face death at 1 year old. Okay? Yeah. However we look at it, that's a challenge. And so my motivation for spiritual life was understanding the mystery of death. And at the age of 33, that was answered. Now, intellectually, we can give you an answer, but it was experientially answered, which is the key. When I had my first, what we say, Shaktipat experience with Swami Muktananda. Shaktipat is the awakening of the divine energy within yourself. And I went into the nothing. When I came down, I got, there's no death for the self. The self is not born, and it doesn't die. It's eternal. That's the answer. Now, if you get that, look at how people are acting today. They're cringing in fear about a virus, or they do this. It's like, once you get, there's no death for the self. Courage is a natural thing that happens.
Well, you know, that's an interesting point, because I think if you have no fear of death, it allows you your courage to come forth, and you'll do things that you've never been able to do before. You'll be able to see things you've never been able to see before and experience life in a completely new way. So how does a person that hasn't had a near-death experience or hasn't gone into high states of consciousness, how do they get to a place of knowing that they are an eternal soul?
Okay, now you already outlined what I call the six foundations, and I'm going to explain, because they all are about helping you go beyond the mind. And you can have this awareness by living, creating a lifestyle, a spiritual lifestyle that leads you to liberation. That's the key. So we talk about eating good food, and I'm a person that is like a 99% live food vegan diet that turns you into a superconductor with the divine. That's good. Then we do meditation. Then we do pranayama, which you already mentioned, right? I like to do sacred dance as well. I love to dance ecstatically, let the spirit come through. I love to do that.
Love that.
We're not going to do that today. Well, I could, but okay. Third, service and charity. So you mentioned the diabetes and work. So I have diabetes prevention programs in 26 countries, over 100 programs around the world, service and charity. What happens with service? You connect to the heart and you go beyond yourself. And then most people need a spiritual teacher as a guide. Now, you still have to do it yourself at the end of the story, but you know, you had Yogananda, Paramahansa, okay? That's pretty good, obviously. And then at some point, we have to still be on our own. The spiritual teacher inspires you, challenges you, can see things you can't do. So that's good. Or a collective where people are involved spiritually. You mentioned also, hey, good company. Pretty important. So you want to surround yourself with good company who are inspiring you to grow spiritually. To me, that's very
good. I love that. Well, listen, I got to take a quick break. We come back, though. I want to focus on the most important advice that you can give someone who's interested in a spiritual path. We'll be right back.
Hi, Ken D. Foster here. If you have a dream to create a wellness product, I'd like to tell you about JBK Wellness Labs. They are a respected contract and white label manufacturer who helps entrepreneurs and companies develop and bring to market dietary supplements, hemp-based CBD products, plus personal care and beauty product lines. JBK Wellness products can be found on the shelves of Neiman Marcus, Whole Foods, Urban Outfitters, CVS, Ritz-Carlton Hotels, Four Seasons Hotels, and multinational direct selling companies. JBK Wellness Labs will walk you through each step from concept through finished product. If you'd like to take your next step in getting your product to market, then start your project today by going to jbkwellnesslabs.com or just Google JBK Wellness Labs.
We'll be right back.
welcome back, everybody. Today I'm interviewing Dr. Gabriel Cousins. And if you don't know Dr. Cousins, he's not only an MD, he's a doctor of divinity since 2008. Gabriel has functioned as an ordained rabbi. I got to get that out. And the co-founder of the first Kundalini crisis clinic in the world, among other things. So let me ask you that question one more time about somebody that's interested in a spiritual path. I mean, you got so many people wondering what the heck to do now. Spiritual path's probably a good idea. So what do you tell them when they ask you about it?
Well, what I tell them, just to finish the six foundations, because it's key, is meditating and prayer is important, and awakening the spiritual energy. Now, what does it have to do with starting the spiritual path? My message is start slowly. Don't get above your head. Go one step at a time. It really does help to find a like-minded people, because that support is important, particularly when you're starting out. Not as much later on, okay? And ultimately, and this is what really happens in people in the diabetes program, at the end they say, you've helped me reconnect to my soul. So one of the most important things in starting the spiritual path is finding a way, creating a way of life. We just mentioned it. I mentioned I call it the six foundations. Ken already talked about it in a slightly different way, but the same thing is a way of life that supports you getting in touch with your soul. When you're in touch with your soul, then you're much more motivated to love yourself enough to want to heal yourself and to wake up spiritually.
So that's, well, I love that. So would you recommend Into the Nothing as a good start? I think, I've got your book right here. I mean, it's a powerful read, Into the Nothing. And is that a place to start?
Yes, because you want that inspiration. So it's my spiritual autobiography, and it's a wild story. But the key is, very basic. Take every part of your life, turn it into a spiritual experience. Okay? I talked about in my book how I had a hernia operation without anesthetic. Okay. I'm willing to go for a challenge. I thought I'd do something different. Okay? So
you not only did it once, you did it twice.
Yes, I did it twice. You read the whole book. Good. But the point is, take challenge and turn it into something. In other words, every experience in your life is changing the angle of your mind so you see it as an opportunity to grow spiritually. That's the most important shift. And then you start, your experience of your world is really different. And that's key. Support is really important. Finding a good teacher, finding that, loving yourself and wanting to heal yourself is profound in the process. But what I would advise is whatever group, whatever you're doing, you really need to be clear that you are growing spiritually from it, because it's very easy to get caught in kind of a rut rather than grow spiritually. So you have to be sensitive. Like, am I waking up? Am I more tuned into life? Am I feeling more love in my life? Am I feeling more peace in my life? Am I on track? And those are kind of questions you have to ask yourself in the bigger picture if you're really in the right path.
I think that's right. And I think, again, that comfort zone, a lot of times I think we want to avoid feeling any kind of discomfort, pain, suffering, and that's fine. But if you're in a place where you're consistently feeling that over and over again, what's your advice for somebody that's going through that right now? How do they break that pattern, Gabriel?
It's a little tricky, okay? Because you can dig 10 wells 10 feet deep and never get to where you're going. Or you can dig one well at 100 feet. But the thing is, somewhere along the line, you have to be feeling you're getting fed in a way that inspires you to grow spiritually. And you have to get into it. For at least 3-4 months before you can get some clarity. But the idea is, are you increasing your awareness? Are you increasing your sense of well-being? Are you increasing your sense of joy? Are you loving yourself more enough to want to heal yourself? Those are the questions you have to ask yourself. Is it really happening? And that's key. And there's a need for independence. What I talked about with our relationship is we have the illusion that the other person is creating our sense of love. No, we had that sense of love within us, the non-causal love. They're helping us amplify that experience. They're not the cause. Okay.
That's good.
We need to think about whatever spiritual path we get on not to be dependent, because it actually blocks your growth. It has to be
great. Let me ask you this. I agree with you with that. And, you know, a lot of people wonder, well, why should I get on a spiritual path? Where does that lead me to? Is, you know, why am I going to do this? What would your answer be for them?
Because it's fun. If you aren't having spiritual joy, you're not going anywhere. And that's the point I'm making. It is the most fun. Touching into the unknown, touching into the ecstasy of who you are, touching into the love of who you are, touching to the spiritual. It's just plain fun. It's just a great way to live. And that's the reason.
That's good. I wanted to ask you this. In your opinion, what does it mean to be a mystic? Let's talk about that. And also, let me ask you, because I think I read where you claim I'm a liberated mystic. So what does that mean as versus a mystic and liberated mystic? Let's talk about that.
So first of all, it's not my claim. My two gurus said you're liberated, okay? There needs to be a lineage. There needs to be someone who knows, who's already there, who can recognize that within you and let you know. And so it's not something you could claim. But, yeah, that happened, right? So a mystic is a person who lives life, I'm going to call it romantic to a certain sense, but it's experiencing the God in everything. It's experiencing the dance of the divine in all creation. And the mystic kind of is more tuned into that experience. Yeah. And so they're more motivated by that. So we're working on a little bit different set of rules, which is this enhancing that experience of the oneness with the divine? That's the key.
Gabriel, Dr. Cousins, I've got to take a break. I got to take a quick break. I got to pay a bill or two here. So let me do that. We'll come right back. And I want to talk about liberated mystic. And what does that exactly mean?
Okay.
We'll be right back.
Today, women in business are helping each other prosper like never before by overcoming stereotypes, networking together, and sharing essential resources. Since 1991, Women's Wisdom, the premier business networking organization for purpose-driven, soul-inspired entrepreneurs, has helped women grow their businesses and become the best version of themselves. Women's Wisdom hosts online events with celebrity speakers, best-selling authors, and business experts dedicated to helping you, the small business owner, expand your possibilities, build new relationships, and get the right referrals. Take your business to the next level and join Women's Wisdom at womenswisdom.net. That's womenswisdom.net. Have you recently used your phone, computer, and Wi-Fi and wondered if they might be affecting your sleep, focus, or possibly even your well-being? Living Design Technology has investigated recent developments in how electromagnetic energy coming from a variety of sources, including cell phone, Wi-Fi, microwave, radio, and TV, are impacting people and their environment. They have developed simple, effective tools that support the harmonizing of the electromagnetic energies present in your home, office, and car. Living Design Technology works by providing the information nature needs to balance the electromagnetic energies in your environment. It's amazing. Nature is actually doing the work when Living Design Technology is present. Find out more at livingdesigntechnology.com/courage and put in the code courage to get 20% off your first order.
Well, welcome back, everybody. Courage, courage, courage. You keep hearing courage in the show. Why? Because courage is a deep aspect of a quality of the divine. And when you tune into that, you can accomplish things in your life you've never been able to accomplish before. I want to thank all of you for tuning in. We have so many people from around the world now that are reaching out to us in Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. So thank you so much. And I encourage you to let your family and friends know about our show and repost our show on your social media. That would be awesome. All the replays are also available at voicesofcourage.us. I also want to encourage you to check out the summit that is coming up. You can find the summit that I have invited some of my amazing friends that will... They're actors and business leaders and football players and doctors and lawyers, and they're all people that have one thing in common. They're all making a difference in this world, and they're helping people. They're in service to others to help them to grow their businesses and grow their lives. So I hope you'll check out the Courage to Change Everything Summit at courage2change.us/summit. courage2changeeverything.com/summit. Okay, back to my guest here today. For those of you that don't know him, he is a leader in spiritual ecology. He's also the founder and director of the Tree of Life Foundation, and he's a best-selling author of 14 books, one of which we're talking about today. It's called Into the Nothing, a Spiritual Autobiography. And to look at that one. There it is up on the screen. Good. Now I don't have to look for it. So, Gabriel, okay, we're taking a little deeper dive into the spiritual path and what it means to be a mystic and what it means to be a liberated mystic. Can you talk to us about that a little bit?
Okay, so it's a very, in a sense, easy but difficult question. When I was acknowledged by Swami Prakashananda as liberated, I didn't believe him. So why not? Well, I'm just living my life. I'm going into the nothing. Things, you know, I'm way beyond the mind. This incredible spiritual joy is happening all the time. And I'm going more and more into the oneness essence of who I am. That's just what was going. And free to move in any direction. We talk about courage. Didn't think about it as courage. It just was what was. And so it actually took me a month or two between him and Muktananda acknowledging, you know, multiple times, like, to finally get, oh, okay, I think I get it. So what's my point? It's not an aha and suddenly you're done. It's more of a gradual thing where you're 51%, 55%, 60%. In this beyond the mind awareness, where you really are living in the great emptiness of who we are. Now, I don't mean empty in a negative way. I mean total fullness. And so as I begin to experience more and more just being full of that inner light beyond any limitation, you know, at 50%, 60%, then the more, if you're there at a certain level, that's kind of what I'm talking about. You're free, as they say, free to move in any direction, but you're connected to the one as your normal state. The inner light is your normal state. It's not just in meditation. It's going on, you know, most of the time. And then over time, it gets more and more and more until we get what we call is not self-realization, but God merging. And so as we move in the spectrum, it increases until you experience yourself as not only light, but beyond the light, beyond the mind. And it's just your regular way of being in the world.
Once one has experienced that, how would you say it impacts living on a daily basis?
Well, you're not going anywhere. You're just there. You're just in life is full of meaning, not purpose is secondary. Now, that shouldn't be misunderstood that one isn't motivated, because if it's your job to be very, purpose focused and create or do what, you do it. But you're not doing it for any purpose but to do it, because that's the divine will. So your will is merged with the divine will, and you are just fulfilling it. You're surrendered to the bigger picture, and there's no ego. Now, I want to clarify. Ego, we call it in India ahamkara. It means your personality, your mental focus, your physical focus. You got it. That's important to develop, but you're not attached to it. Okay? You are committed to the divine will unfolding in your life and aligning with it.
I love that. Gabriel, I have a question for you. So why do you think so many people have a trouble, like you did for 2 months, accepting your own realization, accepting your own liberation? Why is that so many people have that? And would you say there's a case right now that a lot more people that are liberated than think they're liberated, because they're still in their head thinking that they're not liberated, so therefore they're not? What's going on there?
Well, it takes one to know one. And so you're living it, you're experiencing it. But, you know, at what point do you say, I'm liberated? Well, I don't. I got told, right? How did I have a hard time believing it? Because it was beyond my imagination to think what's happening is what you're talking about. It was just simply beyond. I was so much involved in the oneness that I wasn't thinking about going anywhere. So it was very hard to think about, oh, I've attained something. There's nothing to attain. You just are. Mm-hmm. And so it was very hard for me to kind of grasp it.
Once we're in that place, and the path that I follow, you know, it's very similar. I think we're in very similar paths. I think about perfecting just one relationship. We got to perfect that relationship with ourselves and in God. But perfecting a relationship with one other person here, that could be the hardest thing that I've ever done in my life. I don't know about you, but perfecting one relationship is difficult.
Yes, and that's why I talk about relationship as a spiritual path. So when I marry people, it's like, do you understand where you're getting into? This is a spiritual path. This is a way of waking up to God. And are you ready to commit yourself to that? And so that's a question I ask couples.
Well, and what do they say?
Well, they have to think about it, okay? But, you know, you give counseling before people get married, but it's a challenge. Not everybody kind of gets it, okay? But they think about it, and then I say, because this is what's happening, so are you ready to play at this level? Are you willing to take your relationship into one that elevates you spiritually? And eventually people get it, and they say, they go for it. They understand it. But not always at the beginning.
Yeah. You know, I read a little bit about you. So, you know, basically, you've been a student of life for a while, and you've studied many of the different religions, the Essenes, the Gnostics, the Kabbalah, and I'm sure there's a lot of other paths that you've Native American. I don't want to leave that out, because that's an important path. You were a spirit dancer, or a spirit dancer for 11 years, eagle dancer, sun dancer. In the Native American culture, what is the commonality of all that? Okay, all the different religions, all the different dancing, all the different. What is the commonality that all of that has brought you to realize?
So I joke. I say everything I ever learned in life is from meditating and playing football and sacred relationship. How do they go together? Because they all can take you beyond yourself. So I began having mystical experiences playing football. How come? Because I was pushing myself beyond my limitations, and I was spontaneously going beyond my mind. It's not the quite same thing as zone. It's one step beyond. So you go beyond your limitations of who you are. And that is the commonality. So if you can do that in relationship, willing to go into the unknown, not think about safety, playing football, you're going beyond yourself. You're meditating. You're going beyond yourself. You're going beyond the concept that you're the mind. You know, that's the into the nothing. So in all those situations, it was about going into the nothing.
Into that. So we're going past the senses. We're going past the intellect. We're not trying to figure anything out. We're moving, you know, we're letting that go. We're going into this nothingness, this ecstasy.
It's a direct apperception of the truth without any limitations. And it just fills your whole body and mind. But you're not experiencing a body and mind. That's how I could have those operations with an anesthetic. Forget it. I was so beyond it that there were no senses. You know, we call it in yoga pratyahara, going beyond the senses.
Well, listen, okay, I got to take a break again. When I come back, I want to ask you, let's dive a little deeper into that intuition and making right choices. I think that's an important piece for people right in the new year. I'd like to get your point on that, how to develop intuition so that they can make proper choices. But I got to take a quick break, so let's go ahead and do that.
Are you feeling stuck or in a holding pattern with your business or life, and you're not doing the things you want or love? Then at some point, you're going to be faced with a decision. You'll either choose to keep living in your comfort zone and risk a life of mediocrity, or increase your courage, step into your power, and forge into the unknown, where everything new becomes possible. If you're truly ready to live masterfully, then you need Ken D. Foster's newest book, The Courage to Change Everything, Strategies and Wisdom to Transform Your Life One Day at a Time. This powerful but simple guide provides you with 365 days of life-transforming wisdom, profound questions, and action steps that will increase your strength and open the doors to success. Stop wondering why your business or life isn't working. The answers are available now. Imagine if you had more courage or another chance to start following your dreams. To pick up your copy of The Courage to Change Everything, visit thecouragetochangeeverything.com. That's thecouragetochangeeverything.com.
To make a difference, do you need results? Wasabi Publicity is the perfect PR team to help you take your message to the next level. Recognized by PR Week and Good Morning America for innovative practices, Wasabi works with authors, speakers, and organizations committed to doing good in the world. Wasabi believes conversations change the world. Stories you share shape how you think, feel, act, and how you experience life. Ask yourself if your website, social media, and PR coverage reflect the stories you wish to share in the world. Are you making the difference you want to make? Do you have the results you wish to have? Ken D. Foster, Voices of Courage radio show host, says Wasabi is the best in the business, period. Schedule a complimentary PR consultation with Wasabi CEO Drew Gerber at publicityresults.com.
Well, welcome back, everybody. Listen, I want to tell you that this show is a show close to my heart. There's so many people that help put this show together. I just want to name a few of them. BBS Radio, Talk Radio New York City, Some of our other networks are on Las Vegas Network. We're on, Podopolis Network, which is a really great network. Just want to give a shout out to them. And of course, E360 TV, thank you for all you do. Really appreciate it. You can get all the replays at voicesofcourage.us. All right. Thanks so much for joining me today. My guest today is Dr. Gabriel Cousins, and among other things, he is the co-founder of the first Kundalini Crisis Center in the world. Dr. Cousins is considered a world-recognized expert on Kundalini, among many other things. Seems to me like when we take a deep dive, you can go just about anywhere, Dr. Cousins.
Well, you asked about intuition, so yeah. It kind of came to me. I never thought about Kundalini. Looked at Nana, said, take care of these people. You know, they were having a little bit much. It's okay. I did it. But over time, I felt, okay, that's part of my mission. So I kind of look about how do we know about the intuition? Where are we going? And I look at the outer messages as well as the inner messages. We have to be careful with that. But even as a kid, at 4 years old, I knew I wanted to be a doctor. Nobody in my family had ever been a doctor. There were bakers and, you know, that kind of thing. It's like, what's going on? But I knew deep down that was what I needed to be. That's my starting point. Then I knew deep down that I needed to start meditating. So there's an inner feeling. What's the big issue is, and what I teach in the book, is when the door opens, go through it. Because people don't honor themselves. They don't honor that there's truth of the divine coming through, and they need to follow it, because we're taught. I put it this way: we're all born originals. Most people die copies. And the lifestyle I'm talking about, in Into the Nothing, and what I teach with Alive with Dr. Gabriel, it's like, no, become an original again. Well, how do you do that? You have to tune in to what you're supposed to be doing. And that's both an outer and inner experience. It's not just inner. But you get your messages, and you have to follow them.
I've asked myself several times, and I've brought it up on the show a few times, you know, why is common sense so uncommon in the world? Right. And the answer is really what we're talking about here. It's following your own intuition, following that inner guidance, and learning how to use it. How does somebody learn how to use their intuition, Gabriel? How did you learn it? How did you learn to become intuitive?
So I have to say, I look at it three things. It has to be my inner guidance. What's the spiritual wisdom for the last 10,000 years, right? And also, what are your teachings of the people around you? But the truth is, for me, I just trusted it since I was 4 years old. I just trusted it. Don't ask me why I trusted it. I just did. And every time I followed it, it has brought me to another level. And I think that's the key. Like when I received Shaktipat from Swami Muktananda, I went into the nothing, and a little voice rang out and said, you should learn to eat and live in a way that supports the Kundalini. Well, that has been the course of my life, you know, for many years, and why I wrote the books. That was a really key thing. And then later, after a 40-day fast, I got in Go to Your Roots. And so my point is that there's a little whisper from God, mm-hmm. is key, but there's also your outer environment. Okay, but can I say, deal with people having trouble with Kundalini? I never even considered that. So there's a direction from, you know, a spiritual teacher or your spiritual collective. And then it's also in my role in the West, there weren't a lot of people really knew about it, understood it. And so, okay, I've got all these things are happening, so pay attention. So part of that is honor your intuition, honor your inner messages, honor the outer messages coming that are aligned with it. So that's how I look at it. It's not just inner. It's certainly not just outer. But there's a deep feeling this is the right thing. That's kind of how it was. Since I've been 4 years old, that's the way I've lived.
And he lived a rich and a vibrant life. That's for sure. So, I'd like to kind of tune into your final advice for people who are interested in some of the subjects we've talked about, finding their own spiritual path, their own purpose, their own presence, expanding their presence. What do you recommend, and what's your final advice for people here?
The most important thing is to either reconnect or connect more deeply with your soul. And from that connects you to the divine. So that's the most important thing. When you make that connection, you love yourself enough to want to heal yourself and follow your intuition. Follow what takes you to the highest level of, I'm going to call it, spiritual joy. I don't see spiritual life as being a negative, like you have to suffer. It's like, no, spiritual joy. That's the driving force. And so love yourself enough to want to heal yourself. It starts with connecting to your soul. Whatever helps you connect to your soul. It's different for different people. For me, it was meditation primarily. And so, but other people, it could be karma yoga, service. Connect yourself, soul, love yourself enough to want to heal yourself, and have, this is why your program is so good, why I love your work, have the courage to follow it. You got to have the courage to follow it.
I love it. Well, I'm glad I had the courage to reach out to you and get you on the show. This has been a really important show for those that are really wanting to take their life to the next level. So, Dr. Cousins, thank you so much for being here. And as we discussed, I hope I'll see you on the summit where some of my other friends will be. So, listen, if you're enjoying the Stories of Courage and Insights on the Voices of Courage show, then I encourage you to subscribe to my YouTube channel. And so you'll never miss its show. How cool would that be? And I also want you to subscribe, of course, to our Facebook channel also, if you'd be so kind. That'd be awesome. Let us know your questions and comments. Send them to viewer@voicesofcourage.us. And let's see, what else can I tell you today? Hope you'll check out the summit. The summit you can find again at courage2change.us/summit. It will change your life, I can tell you that. If you'll tune in to the speakers and what the messages that they have, your life will change in ways that you can, at the end of it, you'll look back and go, how did this even happen? I think that is what Gabriel and I have in common. We look back and go, this has been an amazing, incredible life. I hope all of us can do that. And I hope you can do that after this new year. You look back and go, this is the most incredible life of my year of my life. All right. Till next time, continue to see the unseeable and know the unknowable and do the impossible.
Thanks for joining us for Voices of Courage with Ken D. Foster. Learn more about Ken, how to be a guest on the show, and sponsorship opportunities by visiting voicesofcourage.us. And we're always interested in what you have to say. So follow Ken on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, or email your questions and comments to viewer@voicesofcourage.us. Also, you can find all of Ken's previous shows by visiting voicesofcourage.us. Be sure to join us next time as Ken brings more stories of courage that will inspire greatness within you and change your life for the better. Until next time, live courageously and see the unseeable, know the unknowable, and do the impossible. This has been Voices of Courage with Ken D. Foster.